Hello, everybody, and welcome to another I Could Talk Kayfabe, because I could talk kayfabe. That's what we do here. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And we are going, we're jumping back into the 80s, August of 84 to be exact, Wrestling All-Stars.
Yeah.
And I got excited when I saw this one when Sean brought it over, because it has Hulk Hogan with the original belt that he won. The green one with the guy holding the belts on the...
Wait. Is that the WWF belt?
Yeah, that's the WWF belt.
Are you sure that's not the IWGP belt?
No, that's the
WWF. Because he's wearing his Japan outfit.
Exactly. He's wearing his Japan outfit. But it says World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, well, I couldn't. I didn't.
That is the belt. That is the one he beat the Iron Sheik for and won the belt.
I missed that. I like that belt.
That's a sweet belt.
I like. It looks like a big Wimbledon plate.
And these plaques have the former champions' names on them.
Yeah, they don't make belts like they used to.
And I guess, like, you know what happened to this belt? They brought the new belts out, and he just threw it in the dumpster. And that's the story of what happened to that belt.
Wait, they brought it. They brought the one.
The world belt, the 1985 belt.
Right, the one that he had up until...
Like, 86?
That was the belt that he had up until the Winged Eagle belt.
Another one before that one.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, there was the 85 belt, which was like a big silver belt, and it had WWF on it.
Okay.
And then there was like the world belt with the globe on it, and then there was the Winged Eagle belt. The 85 belt, he only had in 85.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
So when he got the 85 belt, the belt that he's wearing in this photo, he just threw it in the dumpster. They're like, you're going to wear this belt now. They're like, okay, and they threw it in the trash. And that's the story of that belt.
Did that come from Hogan himself?
Yeah.
You see why he threw it in the trash?
Not because they didn't think anything of it at the time. It was just, it was old, it was all sweaty and stained and everything, so.
I don't think this belt, though, was around that long, though, this one that he's wearing, because I feel like the one that Bob Backlund had wasn't, you know, like, he usually had, like, that smaller one.
So that's the 85 belt.
That's the 80, oh, wait, so what's the 86 belt? I thought that was the one that was, maybe, okay, you know what, maybe not, you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, because I don't remember... With those big letters on it on the top, I don't remember that being around when Andre won it.
That's the 86 belt,
right? Yeah. Okay, and obviously they put the logo,
like
the actual logo on it.
Yeah,
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Belt talk. I wrestling belts are extremely fascinating to me, and I will take any chance to talk about them. Did we ever see the California Championship Wrestling belt?
I don't think they ever showed it on the television show.
Hmm. Yeah.
They referred to that guy as the champ, and then they never showed. He never had the belt.
Was it like in Florida where if you win a trophy instead of a belt?
Yeah, or what was the one where they had the medal?
UWF.
Yeah, they had a medal.
And Smoky Mountain, I think they had a medal.
Yeah.
They had the TV champion medal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into this magazine. We have Wrestling All-Stars from August 1984. Let's talk about the cover real quick here. We got Hulk Hogan wearing in the Japanese outfit doing the number one.
Yeah, and I just downloaded a Hulk Hogan on WWE 2K with the Japanese outfit.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and that's why I got excited, because I was like, yeah, I just downloaded it.
So nice.
It's awesome.
He's huge in Japan.
Yeah.
It's something that I think I've always underestimated about him. He was the first IWGP champion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very first one.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big star, but... Hulkamania, but apparently this is just when just around the very beginning of when WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan became the prominence in the WWF, because Hulkamania sweeps the country. It's continued sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
But can Hulk Hogan hold on to his belt? I think so.
If I was a betting man, I would bet yes.
That's a sweet robe, by the way.
Yeah, everything about that outfit's great.
That's a good. You know what? That's a good cosplay. If I can cosplay as that. One day, I'll do it. I'll just go to a comic convention. It's like I'm Hulk Hogan from 84 Japan, and actually, that looks very comfortable. I want that robe. You throw that in the garbage?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, good.
It looks like a silk robe.
Yeah, it's very nice. Blackjacks reunited in AWA. I didn't know about this.
Neither did I. I think you brought this over because I really marked out when I saw that.
Yeah. Heenan Hat Family Feud makes them join forces. So we're not even to. We're still with Bobby Heenan in the AWA at this point.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he hasn't jumped yet.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, quote, "I'm the best there is and ain't nobody better."
So when we get into it, we'll talk more about it, but I just want to point out in this Hacksaw Jim Duggan thing right now. So like in the article, he's like a face. He's fighting Volkov and all that. And he's also a heel because he's having first death matches with Dusty Rhodes and managed by Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, because he was sort of a heel when he first came to Mid-South.
Yeah.
And I think he was transitioning. And yeah, no, we'll talk about that when we get to it. New Fabulous Ones. The fans love them, but are they as good as the originals? I don't know. Maybe.
I thought they were pretty good.
Well, I mean, the Fabulous Ones are really good. We're talking the new ones were Eddie Gilbert and Tommy Rich.
Yeah, that's a very good team.
It's a very good team.
Maybe call yourself something else, though.
Around the USA, special report, Carlos Colon, Universal Champ, defeats The King in San Juan.
Oh, who's The King?
Who's The King? We'll find out. And in the corner, we've got a bloody Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah, we don't talk about him enough on this podcast.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised that we haven't.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Valiant's a fascinating fellow. Boogeyman Jam 84. Valiant unmasks the assassin.
Yeah, it turns out it's Hercules.
Yeah, it was all, yeah. Hercules, apparently at some point, Hercules was a masked wrestler for, like, a lot of different places.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. And free poster, Mark Youngblood. So
it's a pretty awesome poster.
It's a pretty good poster. And right when you open up here, you get yourself that Mark Youngblood poster.
Yeah, it's pretty
incredible.
Does it take up the back cover too? No, it doesn't.
No, so but he's sitting there wearing, I think he's wearing, it says it looks like the NWA tag title.
Yeah.
I always like this belt because it's got like, is that an eagle? I think those are birds. I always thought those were cow. That was a steer head.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's a bird.
It's a bird, and you got guys wrestling on top of it.
On top of a bird. That's pretty awesome.
Wait, it's a bird on top of a bird?
No, they're wrestling on top of a bird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You're missing that kind of design nowadays in these belts.
Yeah.
Of a fucking people wrestling on top of, like, globes and birds and, you know, animals. We need that. But
we sure do. Action Fashions with the advertisement inside. And they got these, like, windbreaker leather jackets that look amazing, and I want one.
I want that. I want that. I want the Hulk Hogan robe. And
every article of clothing I've seen so far, I want.
All right. Let's talk about these main stories first.
You got Hulk Hogan bleeding in the table of contents.
Yeah, that's a very random photo where it's like, hey, here's our magazine. Also, here's Hulk Hogan with a sweet blade job.
Yeah.
King
Kong Bundy's reading the magazine. He's looking very interested.
Yeah, it was an interesting magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about these articles first here. First of all, let's talk about Hulk Hogan sweeping the nation.
It is. Hulkamania is running wild.
Running wild. And we get a lot of sweet photos of him from Japan and just from the 80s. Yeah.
The American-made shirt.
That
he, like, got made at the mall with the iron-on letters.
Yeah.
I love those shirts.
And basically what this is basically just like a rundown, the article itself, because we're not really going to talk about this article so much, because it's basically just like, and then Hulk Hogan came, you know, he was in AWA, and then he came back, and this is how it, you know, they talk about how Backlund was hurt,
you know,
and he didn't get his title shot. He just all of a sudden didn't get the title shot or get his rematch, you know, because he was hurt, and, you know, they had the whole thing where they describe him being brought back to help Hogan to help Backlund take on the Samoans.
Yeah.
I remember that, which is actually on you could find that on the Hulk Hogan DVD.
Yeah.
The first one they put out, which is again, I will attest, that's probably one of the best DVDs I think they've ever put out.
Yeah, those Hulk Hogan and the Ric Flair and the Shawn Michaels ones, I think, are the best ones by far. The Hogan one, the first one, the Ric Flair first one, and the Shawn Michaels from the vault, I think, are the...
I didn't have the vault one, Shawn Michaels one, but I remember that one. I know they had a lot of good matches on it.
And the speaking of those iron-on letter t-shirts.
I think I did, actually. Yeah, go ahead.
Those iron-on letter t-shirts, the Revival brought those back.
With the RIP cart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they got hurt. Well, the one guy got hurt.
Oh, that sucks.
And he's out for a while.
But we got a lot of sweet pictures here of Hogan in Japan.
Yeah.
Hogan in Japan, man, though, I'll tell you, man.
Him with Inoki, and Inoki's giving him flowers.
I don't know. I'm just a big fan of these pictures.
Like, Hogan's so tall, like, his head is, like, cut off. That's how tall he is.
He's gigantic. Hogan is gigantic in real life. That's crazy. I don't know. I just always found that fascinating when you meet, like, a wrestler, and you're like, holy shit, this guy's actually really tall.
When I met Hulk, he was sitting down, and he was still bigger than me.
Yeah.
Like, taller than me. Yeah.
Yeah, so we get the whole story about him and how whether or not, you know, he's going to be able to keep the title and stuff. You know, he's got challengers in the U.S. He's got, you know, the initial onslaught of Paul Orndorff and David Schultz and Greg Valentine and Mass Superstar and Big John Studd.
Mass Superstar is a guy I would have loved to have seen, like, him and Hulk go at it.
I would have seen him in his prime. Like, yeah. I mean, like, watch him regularly. I've seen stuff of him.
Yeah.
But I would love to have seen him do his thing, like, on a bigger stage. Because I think by the time wrestling basically became, you know, a big thing, he was already, you know, one of the super machines.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be the machines at the time, so. Yeah, and then they ask, what about Bob Backlund? Can Backlund be satisfied in the semi-main events? Or no. Well, he
didn't answer your question. No.
Nope. He was pretty much done at this point.
He went to Pro Wrestling USA and wrestled at the Meadowlands.
He wrestled like a handful of matches at AWA, and then he disappeared for like 8 years.
He was gone for a while.
He didn't come back to 92.
Yeah.
I got to the bigger stage at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing in that time.
Just living.
Maybe he was wrestling overseas.
Maybe he probably did a few things. You know, he probably had some indie spots, but he probably just did business for himself. You know, good for him. Just stay off the road. Introducing the new Fabulous Ones, Eddie Gilbert and Tommy Rich. Are they as good as the originals?
Well, yeah. You know what? I think they're better than the originals, but I don't want to call them the Fabulous Ones. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, them as a tag team, I would take over the Fabulous Ones.
They're a good tag team, but I like the Fabulous Ones, too.
Oh, yeah, I love the Fabulous Ones.
I'll be honest, I'm pro-Fabs.
Yeah.
Other than these guys. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of these cats.
But, like, if I was going to wrestle, like, if I was going to book a match, Tommy Rich and Eddie Gilbert, just as Tommy Rich and Eddie Gilbert against the Fabulous Ones, I'd probably put Rich and Gilbert over.
I kind of want to see if I can get all those on my game. I know there's an Eddie, Tommy Rich.
I don't have Steve Kern, but I think I have everybody else.
I have a Tommy Rich. I had a Tommy Rich, and I don't like the way that they, because they take a picture.
Yeah, I have that Tommy Rich.
There's a lot of those, actually. And yeah. I saw that you have the Don Morocco.
Yeah.
That I had that for a minute, and I don't like it because it just looks like it's like they take a picture that has a lot of shading in it.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, they put the face on there, and it just looks weird.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's a good. Eddie Gilbert's pretty good though.
Yeah,
the Eddie Gilbert.
I can't find the Rick Steiner from Hot Stuff
International.
I can't find it anywhere on there. Because I want to do Hot Stuff International.
You can make one.
I could.
You could just take
a Rick Steiner. Download Rick Steiner and make it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just put.
It's just a generic.
He only used to wear the short tights or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get the story here about whether or not they're good, and you know, kind of goes through the careers of these guys.
Yeah,
you know, about how Eddie, you know, had his car accident, and he used to wrestle, and you know, and he got better from that, but then he wrestled in WWF for like a minute, which is, you know, people often forget he wrestled there against Kurt Hennig of all people. You know, he would wrestle matches as like a kind of like a light heavyweight competitor. And then Mass Superstar took him out. He gave him a bunch of neck breakers on the floor, because back when the neck breaker, the corkscrew neck breaker, was probably the most devastating move in wrestling. It was pretty much the DDT of the Northeast.
I have just like turned in like to the biggest Eddie Gilbert fan now, like since watching.
Oh, Eddie Gilbert was awesome. Yeah,
he was really. I always heard about how awesome he was, but I never really got into him. But now that I've started watching him, yeah, he was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And it's too bad that he died young, because.
Yeah, he died real young. We're older than him now.
Yeah.
You know, and he died, you know, he just. And here's the thing about him is that he packed in so much wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, from mean, because he's already, like, at this point, probably, like, 2 years pro.
Yeah.
You know, and this is 84, you know, and here he is. Yeah, now he's, you know, whatever. He really wrestled another, like, another 10 years after that, but he did everything.
Yeah. He was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm more bummed about his death at such a young age than I am a lot of those guys at a young age. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, yeah, he was just so good. Like, he was just pretty awesome.
Well, he just knew the business and he knew how to work.
Yeah.
And we get some great photos of, actually a lot of probably the best photos I think in this magazine.
I think if Eddie Gilbert was still, like, if he didn't die, he probably would have ended up in the WWF, that new generation.
No, he would have been ECW.
Well, I think he was ECW, but, like, he would have went to New Generation and got that payday, I think, so.
No, I think he would have been ECW pretty much up until the 90s, and he probably would have ended up in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Doing something, you know, in some sort of angle in the Attitude Era. You know, and he would have made some. That's where he would have made his money.
Yeah,
he would have made that WWF money, and then could probably be, you know, if he stayed clean, he would still be like being creative. He'd probably be like a Dutch Mantel kind of character.
Yeah,
at this point, you know, or maybe even probably Vince Russo, because you know he's very. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like. When you watch a lot of Southern wrestling from, like, I think it was the CWA stuff, like, probably that five-star wrestling stuff we were talking about last time. It's all him, I think.
Yeah.
So, that's good stuff. But, yeah, awesome pictures here of Buzz Sawyer. Another guy who was gone way too soon.
He was gone way too soon, but listening to people's podcasts and stuff, he was, like, just an asshole.
Well, he's a piece of shit, but but in the ring,
yeah,
he is... Like, when you watch American Alpha wrestle, and when they let them do shit.
That's a good, very good
he's
comparison.
He's just, good, like, the way he does, like, because he used to be, like, a state champion and stuff like that. But he kind of was also, like, a really good brawler, and he had, like, a lot of, like, crazy charisma. His power slam is probably one of my favorite things to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, just the way that he moves the guy. It just looks so much more than just a power slam. So, yeah, this is great, actually. I'm actually really excited to be looking at this here. Carlos Colon dethrones the king, Ernie Ladd.
Ernie Ladd of all kings.
Yeah.
I didn't know Ernie Ladd was a king.
He was. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was his thing for years.
Oh.
He would walk around. He was the king of wrestling. And he would, you know, that's how you would get heat, you know, because he was, you know, Ernie Ladd, if you watch the Mid-South stuff on the network, he's a good talker. He's not good in the ring. You know, he wasn't very good in the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good for his size because he's another guy who's...
Yeah, he was like 6'10". He was huge.
He's gigantic and stuff. And, you know, I remember... I think one of my favorite things I saw him do was, like, I was on one of my Florida DVDs and he interferes in a match where he jumps off the top rope. Of all things, so they got giant ass Ernie Ladd, and he's wearing a mask. You didn't know it was him, apparently. And then he does an interview, and he takes off the mask, and he's got this giant fro. I love when wrestlers try to stick giant amounts of hair under a mask.
Yeah,
that's always very entertaining to me. But yeah, here he is wrestling Carlos Colon, and you know Carlos Colon. This is right towards the beginning of him. He's already probably the most dominant wrestler in Puerto Rico, but like this is where the legacy really kicks in.
Colon Mania is running wild.
Colon Mania
in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and he's taking on Ernie Ladd here, and people are just we're getting play by plays of this match he's having with Ernie Ladd, and you know we get a picture of him. He had hardcore blading scars.
Yeah, look at that.
I mean, granted, he was wrestling since, like, the late 60s, so I guess that makes sense. But, yeah. No, and the thing is that he would go on. Does he still wrestle?
I got to imagine he probably, like, one of those rare attraction things where he puts on the boots, like, once in a while. But Yeah,
we're more than 10 years away from this point of him appearing at the 95 Royal Rumble, or was it 93? No, it's 93.
Yeah,
yeah.
As an old timer,
as a youngster, as a real monster, we'll call him.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then we just get a lot of talk about Puerto Rico, and you know, talking about, you know, we get some stuff in here about King Tonga, back when Haku was.
I recently watched a 6-man tag. And they had King Tonga, Ricky Steamboat, and I can't think of who the other
Tito
one was. Yeah, it was probably Tito.
Probably Tito.
And they just wrestled three jobbers. I was like, what are they wrestling jobbers for?
They would, you know what it is? If they didn't have anything for those guys to do, they would just put. That was the beauty of the syndicated program back in the '80s, is that they didn't have anything for you to do. If you're a single wrestler, they might just pair you up with another single popular singles wrestler. They didn't have a feud for you.
Yeah.
You know, especially like I think in like the mid to late 80s, they would do this where they would just be like, all right, well, I guess Tito and Pedro Morales are teaming and they're just going to wrestle some jobbers.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of what they did with Sheamus and Cesaro. They had them feud with each other, and then they're like, hey, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and team together?
Well, it would be something where if they just all of a sudden out of the blue started teaming.
Yeah.
See, I think wrestling fans today don't necessarily, especially if they're, you know, if they're not both heels or something, or faces, like they have to be the same alignment.
Yeah.
But wrestling fans today don't necessarily, I don't know, they're not fashioned to be like, well, why are these guys teaming? It's just kind of random. It's like, well, who cares?
I missed the whole start of the Rhino Heath Slater tag team. How did that form?
So what happened was Heath Slater, they just brought Rhino back. Like, yeah. They just said he's back, and he was back for like a week, and then Heath Slater was doing the thing where he wasn't drafted by either brand, but he wanted to be a part of the team. He wanted to be a part of SmackDown, so they're like, well, we're going to have this tag tournament. If you can find a partner, then, you know, then you can, and if you win the tournament, then you have a contract. And so he hooked up with Rhino, and that's how that all started.
So, oh, interesting. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it.
Yeah, it happened kind of quick.
Yeah.
Great color photo here of Carlos Colon throttling Ernie Ladd. It looks like they're both nude.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It just kind of looks like they're both, like, you can't really see their gear.
Like, so he's like choking him on a table, it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, I bet that was a crazy fucking match.
I wish they were bleeding.
Oh man, that would have been I'm sorry. How are they not bleeding?
Yeah, must have been the beginning of the match.
Yeah, it must have started, and yeah. For some reason they're already murdering each other on a table. Yeah. But yeah, these photos are really good. I do like you got Mike Rotundo and Dusty Rhodes here, casual Dusty,
bunkhouse almost,
bunkhouse Dusty,
and you have Sheik Adnan El Casey.
Yeah,
which very like rare photos. Like, you don't really see pinup photos of Adnan El Casey, so that's kind of cool.
Nah, you got Brian Adias,
which I can do without.
Yeah, he basically looks like your standard jobber.
Yeah,
he's always looked like that, though. That's the thing. Even when he was like the hotness back in World Class.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji.
Yeah. Did Fuji ever wrestle in those sandals? Sweet Brown Sugar.
There he is.
Who is that? That is Skip Young. Who is just Skip Young. So, okay, I'm trying to think if he was somebody else.
Big John Studd.
And Boogie Woogie.
There he is.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We're going to talk about the Boogie Woogie Man Jam of 84.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we're back, and it's the Boogie Woogie Man Jam of 84. Jimmy Valiant unmasks the assassin.
Sorry, just Boogie Man Jam.
Boogie Man Jam.
Boogie Man Jam.
He was the Boogie Woogie Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
This is right when apparently he lost it. Because Jimmy Valiant would lose his hair and his beard on a regular basis to Paul Jones. And thankfully, you know, apparently at this point he's growing it back.
Yeah.
And Paul Jones is managing the assassin, which so I think because this isn't I don't know if, so when this is what August or when did we say this is?
This is 84. It says
August 84. So and I'm trying to think. Okay, 83. Okay, so it's no Starrcade 83 because and it was him and Bugsy McGraw against the assassins at Starrcade 83, and that's where they unmasked the assassin, who is Hercules Hernandez.
Yeah.
So, and that's where, and then he ended up in wherever. I think he went to Mid-South, and then he went to WWF at this point.
And became Hercules Hernandez.
Yeah. So,
and the magazines loved him.
Yeah, oh God.
He would be like a semi-finalist and jobbed as Super Duper Man, Super Duper Mario in the kayfabe tournament, and the other semifinalists.
I like this kayfabe tournament. Yeah. I think we need to create our field of 16.
Yeah,
and then stream that shit.
Yeah, and the other semifinalist who loses to Bear Trap would be Butch Reed.
Oh, Butch Reed. I'm trying to think. There's another one who I would Scott Hall. 80 Scott Hall, though.
80 Scott Hall, yeah.
80 Scott Hall is definitely in there.
Yeah.
One of the Simpson brothers, so Sean Simpson or Steve Simpson from World Class, you can put them in there. Who else?
Oh, Al Perez.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How can I forget Al Perez?
Al Perez.
We got to also think, what about WWF? What else? Who else do they love? I mean, Macho could be in there, I guess.
Nah.
He'd win, though. That's the thing, though. If you have Macho in there, he has to win. Now we'll think about this. This is very important.
The kayfabe tournament.
I can talk kayfabe tournament.
Yeah,
we should make a title.
We should.
Yeah,
I think I'll do that later.
Yeah,
yeah.
Are you able to share the title with your friend? Because here's the thing. Wait, so you did you? You're we have. I have a thing going on, like a tournament mode. Or not tournament. I have a season mode going on in my game. Aren't you able to like interfere in my shit?
I think you were on the previous game, but I don't think you can anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was last year's game you could.
Well, anyways, the moral of the story. I don't know. What do you want to say about this? Because basically, all that happens is
he takes the mask off and it's Hercules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul Jones is in a shark cage. Is that what he is?
Paul Jones gets in the shark cage. Yeah. And, you know, you get the. I do like this picture on this other page here where they just take a random shot of Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
The unmasked assassin. They don't. Do they actually say it's Hercules?
No.
I don't think they do.
Was he Hercules at this point?
Well, he was Hercules Hernandez or Ray Hernandez or Fernandez or whatever his real name was.
I don't think he becomes Hercules till later.
No, he doesn't become technical. I mean, he was Hercules, I think, in Mid-South. I mean, I don't know.
Wasn't he in Mid-South after this?
Yes.
So he doesn't. He's not Hercules yet.
No, he's just some schmuck.
Yeah, he's just some guy.
Just some dude.
Rest in peace.
All right, but yeah, that was a surprise one.
Yeah.
I remember like one day all of a sudden it was like Hercules is dead. I was like, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is actually the thing I did want to point out here. So apparently after he wins this match and he rips the mask off of Hercules, which I thought already happened because I thought it was a tag match that just happened, but apparently it was in a singles match with Paul Jones on ringside. Oh, also I want to point out, Jimmy Valiant, I think, has a radio station on the back of his pants.
Yeah, it's like FM 10 something. Yeah, something music.
He was doing this before, what's his face? Brock Lesnar wearing Jimmy John's on his pants.
Jimmy Valiant.
You could buy real estate on Jimmy Valiant's tights.
Yeah.
You could have did the Briscoe body. The Briscoes could have got some pub for their thing.
Yeah. Maybe it was a Boogie Woogie Jam station.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, he is the boy from New York City.
Yeah.
So he probably got some some good Zydeco music. I'm assuming he's a guy that's really into Zydeco music.
I hope he doesn't kiss me if I ever meet him.
You know, I don't know. Did I ever meet Jimmy Valiant? I'm trying to think if I did. Did you know? I don't think you could do it anymore. But I think for years he had his wrestling school, and it was open every day. It was open every day except for Christmas. And if you wanted to come and visit, you could just go and visit. And like wherever he lived in Virginia. And they would do, like, you could just go and see his shit.
Wow.
I remember seeing this when I was like in my early 20s and being like, damn it, I missed that. Because I could have, you know, because now it's like I could have, you know, when I was, I could have sold my wild oats and took my wrestling, journey across America to go see all the famous spots, including Jimmy Valiant's. Maybe he still has this mask. This is the mask that he won. But anyways, he talks about how, I guess, that after winning this match, that him, Wahoo, and Junkyard Dog, which doesn't make sense, because I don't know why JYD's there, but and Mark Youngblood and Vinny Valentino are going to do some serious celebrating.
Oh.
They are going to do...
What does that mean?
That means they're going to do meth.
Oh.
Because apparently Jimmy Valiant has also done a lot of meth, allegedly.
Heel Jimmy Valiant, maybe not face Jimmy.
You don't think he faced Jimmy Valiant? I mean, have you seen him past 1988?
Yeah, it's true.
According to the one of my wrestling sojourns into the dark internet of wrestling tales, apparently Jimmy Valiant eats meth like rock candy.
I could believe it. Seeing Jimmy Valiant, like present day photos of him, yeah, I could totally believe it.
What am I? There was that one video. It was like a, it was a one of those videos where it was just a compilation of random like matches of like Memphis matches, like stuff that didn't get easy rights to, mm-hmm. like Memphis matches and stuff.
I had a bunch of Memphis stuff on my YouTube channel, and it all got flagged by some company that I know doesn't own the rights. But they flagged it anyway.
Well, it's horseshit.
So I made it all private. So fuck them.
Yeah, but so they. They used to have these matches, and they had this thing where I think Jimmy Valiant was wrestling. It was like some match from like 1990 where he was wrestling like Eddie Gilbert or some shit. Mm-hmm. And then they cut to this guy in the studio, some random guy in the studio, and he's like introducing these matches, and he's clearly like, he's talking like he's like, they show this interview with, right after the match, they show this interview with Jimmy Valiant, and this is, you know, 1990s Jimmy Valiant, so he's got like the tattoo across his head. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks, you know, like rough, you know. And the guy's like, and the guy who clearly can't see Jimmy Valiant on the screen is like, Jimmy, you look great, you sound great. We can't wait to get you back in the ring. And I'm like, whatever.
My favorite Jimmy Valiant angle is when he was a heel working in the 70s. And it was one of my YouTube videos, and so it's still up there. But like I said, I made it private. They had a tournament, or not a tournament, a battle royal to crown a television champion. Coco Beware wins the title. They award him a TV, and Jimmy Valiant smashes the TV.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was one of those old like tube TVs from the 70s with knobs and everything. It was great.
Oh man, that was a mess to clean up probably.
And then as they were going to break, they showed a close-up of the TV all smashed, and it was awesome.
Not enough smashing of gifts.
No.
I mean, I know they tried to bring that back a little bit when Kofi threw paint all over Randy Orton's car.
Yeah, not even, I mean, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal trophy got smashed, but it didn't get smashed this time.
Oh, that's right. It didn't.
Yeah.
If you have a trophy, it has to get smashed.
I agree. Yeah. Whose trophy got smashed? Was it Cesaro's trophy?
You know what they should do is have a battle royal for like a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And then somebody can come out and smash that. Oh, they should have it for a Nintendo Mini because apparently those are out of production now. I will offer mine up actually if I get to have you know, if you want to maybe buy me something else, that would be. This is an idea. You can have this idea for free.
I guess they're coming out with a Super Nintendo Mini this year. That's why it's out of print.
Wait, so is that actually real?
Yeah, that's actually... That's the... Well, It's the rumors, but usually those are the kind of rumors that are real. So, yeah.
That's great. Another thing for people not to be able to get.
Honestly, I'm more excited about the Super Nintendo one than the Nintendo one. So that one I'll probably actually do a pre-order on and just to make sure I get it because...
Did they not do pre-orders for the other one?
They did, and I didn't do it because I was like, whatever, I don't care. But the Super Nintendo one I will definitely want, so I will do a pre-order.
Good call.
Yeah, because the Nintendo one, I have all the games. Super Nintendo games are really expensive, so I don't have all the games.
I've been playing Gradius, and I've been trying to figure out the original Castlevania.
Oh.
And what was the other game on there that I enjoyed? I don't know. And Super C, I guess. It's kind of, you know, to be honest, it lost its luster for me pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, which sucks because I wanted to really enjoy it. And now I'm just like, I just want, should I just get like an EverDrive and just do that so I can get my fix?
Yeah.
I feel like I should just do that.
Yeah.
I'm an adult. I can buy this.
Yeah.
Anyways, Blackjacks.
Blackjacks are back.
Yeah. I didn't know this happened.
I didn't either. That's why I really liked this.
Yeah.
And Blackjack Lanz is really old in this photo. He's wearing white.
Yeah, well, because apparently, yeah, because what happened was, so the idea was that he lost a match to, like, Greg Gagne or something like that. Something happened where he lost a match in the AWA when, because apparently Bobby Heenan is still his manager.
Mm-hmm.
He lost a match. It was him and Bockwinkel against Brunzel and Gagne. And Gagne, they lost a match. He lost the fall, and they. And Bobby Heenan berated him.
Yeah, and, you know, as he should,
and in order to, show that he's no longer under Bobby Heenan's control, he dressed in all white.
Yeah,
instead of wearing the black, so he gets So that's.
I don't think the fans would have been confused if he would have stayed in black.
No, but you know what? That's a nice attention to detail. That's actually kind of I kind of like that idea of being like. Well, you know what? Now I'm good. So here's my different gear. Because that's kind of like what Ricky Morton never did that when he joined the York Foundation.
No, he never did.
He kept the mullet. Uh-huh. He kept the rock and roll tights.
He just didn't wear t-shirts.
I mean, at least Tommy Rich tied his hair back.
Yeah.
And wore leather chaps. Because, you know, he was making that extra York money.
Tommy Rich was all about, like, tying his hair back when he was a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when he was in the FBI.
Yeah.
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 But so Lanza, you know, he turned on Heenan, and then they brought Blackjack back for a little bit to fight against Heenan and Bockwinkel, I think.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome because I didn't know that the Blackjack Mulligan and Blackjack Lanza ever had like face runs against Heenan, so that's pretty cool. I'm glad I saw this.
Yeah, and I'm wondering. I want them to get more of that old AWA stuff. Like, put up from like from 1980 on the network because just put that up there. Just put from 80 to 90. Just give me the last 10 years.
Yeah, I don't need 70s.
I don't need the 70s. I already know what happened. Yeah. Vern Gagne was a champ.
Yeah,
or Vern Gagne or Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah,
sure, great. But
actually, there would be more Crusher if it was the 70s.
Yeah. I don't need to see Crusher.
That'd be good.
You into Crusher?
Yeah, Crusher's awesome. Maybe there would be some Dick the Bruiser, but he was more Texas.
He was more Texas in Indiana.
Yeah.
He did his. He wasn't always... The Crusher was pretty much AWA.
Yeah.
But, this is awesome. You know, seeing about the Blackjacks. Some great. They look good here.
Yeah.
Blackjack Mulligan, you know, even though he looks to be in really good shape.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Blackjack Mulligan. Is Lanza still alive?
I have no idea.
I was thinking that. I was like, is he still around?
I'll Google that as we go on. So Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan claims, I'm the best. Nobody, ain't nobody better. Who's better than Duggan?
At this time, nobody really, because it was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome, and this is actually talking about, so he's in Mid-South, but he's also in Florida, I think?
Blackjack Lanza is still alive.
Okay, good.
81 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's for some reason that's older than I thought he would be.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hope he sticks around. Let's not curse him.
Yeah, because Blackjack Mulligan was only 73 when he died, so that's kind of, yeah, that's quite an age jump. But he did, Blackjack Lanza did look pretty old in that white outfit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, yeah. He was probably, like, in his 40s at that point.
Yeah.
Wrestling, and, you know, I think that right after that he retired because he didn't wrestle.
Yeah.
Much. I don't think he ever wrestled in a WWF, like, in, you know, even in, like, the early expansion days.
No.
So, he probably just retired, just went right to being an agent. But, yeah, so this Hacksaw thing, basically, it's weird because the title of this article makes it seem like he's a heel.
Yeah.
But not everything in here is about him being a heel.
No, he's like a face in some promotions and then a heel in others. Like in the Mid-South, he's a face. He's wrestling Nikolai Volkov, the big Russian. And then, like, he's doing a first blood match with Dusty Rhodes in Florida. And he's managed by Kevin Sullivan. So
yeah, I know. I have never... that was been a really brief thing. But I will say, a Dusty Rhodes, Hacksaw Jim Duggan first blood match is something I want to see.
Yeah, I want to see that match right now.
I'm trying to imagine those two in the ring wrestling each other
in a first blood match.
In any match, it was like when what was it? Dom Morocco beating Dusty Rhodes in 30 seconds or whatever that was. The one ish.
I saw the amazing. Oh yeah, was it Dom Morocco? It was Dom Morocco. Yeah, and the spoiler of the match: Dusty and Duggan both bleed, but the ref's out. So Kevin Sullivan wipes Duggan's blood off him, and the ref comes to, and Dusty's bleeding, so Duggan wins.
That's been a finish they've done in, I think, other matches, too. There was, I want to say they did that same finish with Dusty and Tully Blanchard in NWA a couple years later. And yeah, I feel like that's been the finish that's happened a bunch. But yeah, that's just a crazy dynamic. Kevin Sullivan managing Jim Duggan to fight Dusty Rhodes. We even get some shots here of him wrestling Mike Davis, Maniac, when he was, I'm assuming, just before or maybe just after he became the evil American Dream. Because he dyed his hair blonde and drew an X on his forehead, and he was the American Dream, but he was... And he pretended he was Dusty Rhodes, but, you know, he looks nothing like Dusty Rhodes.
So looking on YouTube right now, there's a bunch of matches where Dusty and Jim Duggan team up, but
right.
There's nothing where it's Duggan versus Dusty.
This has got to be on some Florida footage somewhere.
Yeah.
It has to be. Because if they're talking, I mean, at least, unless if it didn't happen, I don't know. But it has to have been on something.
It sounds amazing. It sounds incredible, and I want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they talk a little bit here about his finishing move at the time, which they would call it the spear. But it wasn't like a spear like we know. It was basically like a diving tackle.
Yeah, it was just like his three-point stance tackle.
His three-point stance tackle, yeah. But instead of clotheslining somebody, he would just dive at their chest.
Yeah.
And, you know, knock them off that way. And that was his joint. But,
yeah, see, there he is with Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Kevin Sullivan doing the crazy stuff, which I like. The one thing I loved about the Satanic Kevin Sullivan stuff is that anytime you would see him, he was never wearing, like, the same kind of face paint. It was always something different.
Yeah.
He always had, like, some sort of different accoutrement that, you know, like, either he's got something on his arms, he got something on his body, he's doing, I mean, it's... He was very creative, and I feel like that's something I wish I was old enough to be able to have seen live and appreciate. You know, like if I'm going back in time, I'm going to like those old wrestling those Florida tapings, you know, from like 80 to 86, you know,
yeah.
Like that's the stuff. Yeah, they talk about the time when Duggan dresses an ape. It's a famous thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he dresses as an ape and. It jumps over the crowd and attacks. Who did he attack?
Ted DiBiase. Or no.
No, he helped DiBiase.
Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, Mr. Olympia is who he attacked.
Mr. Olympia, another underrated guy.
Yeah.
Who, if you watch some Mid-South, that guy was in, like, he looked great. He, you know, he moved great. You know, he's one of those guys who just never came up. So.
Yeah.
RIP. Chief Maivia, even though he died, like, I think 2 years.
Yeah, they have a big thing on him.
This is a flashback thing.
Yeah, they show him James Bond. And
Yeah, which is something. I do want to comment here on the Samoan. I think this is Afa wearing a leather jacket. I like casual Samoan.
Yeah, casual Samoan.
Casual Samoan means business.
We like that.
And yeah, so I guess that leads us to the rest of the magazine.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of go through some of these items here. We get our bulk, our little news here. Steam, Hulk Hogan to okay. Did you ever see this? I never saw this. Hulk Hogan, the Hulk, to star in a new television series. Hulk Hogan has signed on to play one of the three male leads in a new television series being filmed in Hollywood, tentatively called Goldie and the Three Bears.
I don't think that ever happened.
The pilot is a male version of Charlie's Angels and will be seen on the ABC network in June for a possible fall series.
I don't think that ever existed.
You don't think they ever shot the pilot?
No, I doubt it.
Hmm. You figured you would have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would have been out there. No, it's never happened.
We got some Dr. D going on here. Apparently, King Kong Bundy now cheered throughout the land.
Oh.
I don't remember. Well, I mean, it was in Georgia, so I wouldn't have known, but that's just weird. Him being a face.
He got a face push. I don't remember. I never even heard of it until now.
He got a face because he used to be a SoFo associated in the Legion of Doom.
Oh.
With the Road Warriors and Buzz Sawyer and all
those. You know, now that you mention that, I have seen like photos of... Well, I just assumed the Legion of Doom were heel at the time.
Yeah. No, they were.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was just there and he just probably got a face push for a minute and then he probably went somewhere else. He once charged myself to do an interview.
What?
Because that's what he does.
Oh.
I think that's what he... I think you can't talk to him unless you pay him somehow. Even for like a phone interview. Like, I'm almost positive that he will not do it unless you give him some sort of stipend. And it was confusing to me because I remember I got the email. Because I remember I was like... when I was doing stuff with Midnight Mayhem and I was like helping Big Mosh, book guests. And I emailed him, not knowing that it was him, because I got the email back from like the Chris Paella, whatever, Palias or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, who's that? Which 2002 Sean should have known this, but I didn't have my new wave wrestling to tell me.
2017 Joe didn't even know that. So,
well, it caught me off guard. And just the email just came back and just said, how much? And then I don't think we ever responded to him because no, I'm not paying for a King Kong Bundy interview. Our ratings are basically, our ratings are very basic here. I do want, only thing I want to point out here is when we get a Zambui Express mention here. Not a lot of WWF tag teams in this, well, maybe a few. But the champions, so you got Ric Flair, NWA, Jumbo Tsuruta at the time is the AWA champ. Hulk Hogan is the WWF champ, and then Carlos Colon. So that's the priorities. Mm-hmm. NWA, AWA, WWF, Puerto Rico. So here we go with the end, though. This is the Wrestling Around the USA exclamation point.
Tito Santana looking like he's holding in a dump.
There's something odd about this photo, is there not? It looks very, like, it doesn't look like it's a wrestling photo. It looks like he's just wearing his black trunks, and he looks like it's... It just looks weird.
Yeah. There's nothing... No. What does it say? WWF Champion Hulk Hogan, Intercontinental Champion Tito Santana, Tag Team Champions Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas. Look at that. So,
yeah.
I guess they're talking about the WWF right now.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about the Northeast.
Yeah.
In California.
Wow.
So I guess that's what we're talking about here.
Maybe they're going to talk about California Championship Wrestling.
No, they're not.
Oh.
No, we're not talking about that. We're never talking about that again. unless if we could get Bear Trap Smith on the show.
Yeah.
Also appearing in the WWF are Tiger Chung Lee, Mr. Fuji, Pat Patterson, the Samoans, the Invaders, Jose Luis Rivera, and Superfly Snuka. All right. And then we talk a little, and they kind of go with the way that they do this, is they kind of just go around the different portions of the country. And they'll highlight it.
Yeah.
Where the apparently wherever it is that they just want to talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
So Florida thing. get yourself a picture of Billy Jack Haynes. He's in our tournament.
Oh, totally.
Billy yeah. Jack Haynes is 100% in yeah. that tournament.
Billy Jack Haynes.
100%.
Yeah.
He might even win it, I think. I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he's making Bear Trap Tap. Bear Tap Smith.
Yeah. It's too bad you can't have intergender matches, because I'd love to have Lady Maxine in the tournament.
Oh, Lady Maxine, yeah. Well, maybe she can bring some guys out to the ring. Maybe
yeah,
the
sheep herders, I guess. I don't know. You can't really have the sheep herders in the tournament. But you can have Joe LeDuc in the tournament.
Joe LeDuc can be in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could definitely put Joe LeDuc in there. Yeah, we're talking about the NWA. Picture of the Road Warriors. It's always intriguing, the Road Warriors, before they figured out how to do like,
yeah.
cool face paint.
When they were trying to, like, yeah, just trying different stuff.
They're using lots of white.
Yeah.
It's always weird anytime I see a picture of that, and I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
But.
Like, he's got, like, the coal miner glove on in there.
He does, yeah. They all got the coal miner glove, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Mid-Atlantic, you got talking about Boogie Woogies, and also wrestling from Mid-Atlantic are Vinny Valentino, Larry Hamilton, Mark and Jay Youngblood, Wahoo McDaniel, Kurt Von Hess, Pez Watley, Don Kernoodle. Kernoodle!
Dory. We don't talk about Pez Watley enough on this, but I want him in the tournament too.
You think he's in there?
I love Pez Watley.
Or as he's known in known.
Sometimes. Maybe we'll have an at-large match where the winner advances to the tournament, and Pez Watley could be in the at-large match.
R.I.P. Pez Watley, by the way.
Yeah.
Also known in parts of the country, I think, is in Alabama. He was known as Willie B. Hurt.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch? If speaking of Pez, you can see him and Tiger Conway Jr. team up as the Jive Tones in NWA on the 87 stuff that's on the network, and it's funny because so they're just there doing these they're just doing squash matches, and they come out and they're like, you know, Starrcade 87, we're gonna be there, we're gonna do all sorts of stuff, and they weren't there. They never appeared anywhere other than just being on squash matches. Oh. I think they made it into the Crockett Cup. One of the, I think maybe.
Oh, well, yeah.
87 or 88, probably yeah, both
like
years.
They had to take whoever they could get because, like, they were just throwing tag teams together for that.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's interesting to watch them. Their finisher was a double, Russian leg sweep.
Wow.
That they would do.
Would win in a match, that team or the Mulkeys?
Oh, Mulkeys are getting turfed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're definitely, I think they even beat the Mulkeys.
Oh, okay.
But they're definitely beating with the Russian leg sweep, which most guys didn't always know how to take, so it always looks something awkward. But yeah, so AWA, and this is where they actually kind of throw in, this is at the biggest portion, I think, because it not only is it like parts of California, you know, we got Nevada, and then we've got pretty much the entire upper Midwest.
Well, it's like land mass wise, yeah, it's the largest portion, but people wise, it's probably the smallest portion.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's.
Well, you got Chicago in there, so.
Chicago, and you got Minnesota, and, you know, you got San Francisco. You know, you got some bigs. You got Denver.
Nobody's living in Idaho or Wyoming.
Yeah. AWA. And so this is also taking into account all of the. Even though it's not listed on this map, you're taking into account the Memphis territory too, because that's technically what AWA, the mid-southern, the southern champ is what they would be. So you had Jerry Lawler as the champ there. Jerry Lawler and Joe LeDuc were tag team champs.
Awesome team.
That's actually a really good team.
Yeah.
Austin Idol is international champion, mid-American champion, Randy Savage, and Patera and Blackwell is the AWA tag. And then they're talking about the new Fabulous Ones. We're talking about about Rick Rude. And apparently he's beating his valet, which I think I vaguely remember from reading stuff. And then also appearing in the AWA it says the A team. Rock and Roll Express, Randy Savage, Art Cruz, Terry Gibbs. Terry Gibbs is all over those Mid-South things, by the way.
He could be in the at-large match against Pistol Pez.
Sure can. Tommy Gilbert, Dusty Rhodes. Harley Davidson, a.k.a. Hillbilly Jim.
Oh.
Yeah.
His previous moniker.
Yeah, that was where he first started. He basically went straight from being that to Hillbilly. He went full Hillbilly very quickly. Scott McGee, Zambui Express, Pork Chop Cash, The Dream Machine, and Dutch Mantel. Mid-South, we get Mr. Wrestling 2 turning heel.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the champ.
He was the champ, yeah, because this is back when he was mentoring Magnum TA, and he turned on him, I think. I think that's how that went. That's some stuff that I don't know if it's up there yet, but it's really good to watch.
It's a weird territory, by the way, the Mid-South.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Just like Alabama, Louisiana. Like, that's just kind of a weird part. That's like, you don't, I don't know.
It doesn't seem, because it's not technically Mid-South.
Half of Oklahoma.
Yeah, why is it only half of Oklahoma? Yeah.
It's just weird.
And technically, it shouldn't be Alabama.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, it's Alabama. Mississippi. Yeah,
yeah, Mississippi. Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah, a little piece of Texas in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did a little bit.
Yeah, they ran Houston, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Appearing in Mid-South are Hacksaw Butch Reed, Jim Neidhart, Lanny Poffo, The Rock and Roll Express, and Buddy Lavelle.
I think Butch Reed is in the tournament, but I also want him to face Hacksaw in a battle of the Hacksaws. Hacksaw Butch Reed and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Oh, this I could talk kayfabe wrestling promotion.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. We talk about the world class here. We talk about Southeast. You know, we've got some stuff in here about the sheep herders in the Southeast.
Yeah. Sheep herders.
Yeah, that was a good stuff. Also appearing in the Southeast, Adrian Street with Miss Linda, Mil Mascaras, Moondog Rex, and Rimpago Leon.
Ooh.
Never heard of that guy.
Neither have I.
I think that's a misspelling, too. Also, Killer Brooks mentioned. Gotta mention Killer Brooks in there.
Jerry Von Erich just flexing those guns.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's peak Von Erich right there.
Backstage, flexing the guns.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Super Destroyers holding the title. And we got Von Erichs. We got, I think this is. So, did he already win? Okay, you know what? So this is November.
Yeah.
Right? Is this, I'd say, November? August. But the May 6th hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So, okay, this makes some of these things make sense now.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then we got apparently the NWA, which is just parts of Ohio, Michigan, and Virginia.
There you go.
It's technically the WCW World Championship, but even though that should probably be Georgia, but
yeah, you got big picture Brad Armstrong.
But the thing is that they would run Georgia would like they went. They stopped being Georgia and became, they were just, they would call themselves WCW, like World Championship Wrestling, and then they would do shows like up north to kind of try to expand the brand. And I don't think it did that well.
Yeah, I know they ran Cleveland a lot when they were
Cleveland. Yeah. I think they did Michigan at some point. Talking about DiBiase losing the title to Brad Armstrong here, the national champ. He had that classic angle.
Yeah, R.I.P. Brad Armstrong.
Also, King Kong Bundy moving to Cheers.
Yeah,
there we go.
A big face turn.
Yeah, we got Johnny Rich, Scott Armstrong, Joe LeDuc, Austin Idol, Bob Roop, Les Thornton, Tommy Rogers, Pez Watley, Wahoo McDaniel, and Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we got that's a good thing. Wow, all these territories. We got
the Pacific Northwest. That's Portland and I guess Seattle. I guess is up there.
Yeah. I think I forgot to mention this from the other magazine that we did last week, but it mentioned that Buddy Rose and Roddy Piper had separate radio shows.
Yeah, we mentioned it, I think. I remember reading it if we didn't, but
I definitely read it.
Yeah. And then we got Matt Bourne. Just nice picture of Matt Bourne.
Matt Bourne right before he jobbed to Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lon Matt Bourne.
Yeah.
So this is in between him being in Mid-South and stuff.
Yeah. I think my favorite Matt Bourne gimmick was in ECW when he was Doink the Clown and then he became Bourne again.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite.
I missed that. But yeah, I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty good stuff for Matt Bourne.
R.I.P. Matt Bourne.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and then we're talking about the mid Central States.
Missouri.
Harley Race. Harley Race looking like Seth Rogen.
But the let's see, you got the Central States champion, which was Avalanche Tyler.
As Buzz Tyler.
And then Missouri State champion is Harley Race.
Yeah. But for a long time, Missouri State champion would be like the precursor to the NWA title.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that didn't last. So, oh man, see, now here's Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama champion.
Jerry Stubbs doing really well. Alabama champion, Charlie Cook.
Yeah.
Southeast champion, Wayne Ferris. He was putzing around here and Stampede before coming to the Honky Tonk. I think he was doing Honky Tonk Man gimmicks sorta here. I do want to point out here, talking about the Southeast. Sonny King, the manager there, has two crazy men under his reign. The New Guinea Maneater.
Oh, boy.
And Boris Zirkov.
Oh, Zirkov.
Zirkov. These two are totally insane. I've heard of Boris Zirkov.
Yeah.
The New Guinea Maneater, I am not familiar with.
I'm going to have to Google that one.
That awesome. Yeah, we need to figure that one out.
Because he needs to be in the tournament.
Yes, he does. It's probably like Jonathan Boyd or something from one of the sheep herders.
New Guinea Maniac?
New Guinea Man Eater.
Oh, the Man Eater.
Yeah. That's a very long wrestling name.
I thought women were man eaters.
No, he eats men too.
See, that was a song.
No, he's
a man eater.
Did you see, going back to California Championship Wrestling, that reminds me, the Destroying Samoan?
Yes, I did.
That's another, speaking of names. And then last but not least, we get, we get Tennessee talking about AWA and stuff like that. So that's it. That's it for.
Oh, I guess cannibalism was a big thing in New Guinea.
So. Right. Well, right. But so who was the wrestler?
Oh.
We're going to learn about geography, guys.
Yeah. I think it's just Kamala too.
Oh, Kamala too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The Ben Peacock. We're talking.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Do you remember Kamala 2 being in ECW for like a minute?
Okay. And they called him Uganda.
Is that what they did?
Yeah,
okay.
That was his name there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was back in like 98 or 99. They would just randomly have, that was back when like Scott Hall made like one appearance.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's it for this magazine. Wrestling All-Stars there's no number, but Wrestling All-Stars from August 1984.
It's got a nice picture on the back of Ivan Koloff bleeding.
Yeah, you put that up. You gotta put that up in your locker.
Yeah,
you're in high school. So thanks for listening, folks. You can find myself and Joe on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, and Joe is at Sweatpants Joe.
Also on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram too.
Names and like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com and do the I Can Talk Kayfabe search. The road to 100 likes is heating up, and we want to get there. So
yeah,
and then
if you don't like our page, we'll send the New Guinea Maneater after you.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on anything other than iTunes, please subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us 5 stars.
Give us a review. Also listen to us on Stitcher.
We're available wherever you can find podcasts, but.
Oh, we didn't mention this, and probably should have mentioned this last week, but shout out to Hacksaw Jim Duggan for retweeting us.
Hacksaw retweeted us, and we talked about him quite a bit in this episode.
Yeah, we give him props, so maybe
we'll give him more props. He just performed stand-up comedy in like Syracuse over the weekend.
Is that the thing now? Is that all the wrestlers doing?
That's what they're doing now. They're all doing stand-up.
I know Raven does it. I know. They do it, but it's really more stories.
Yeah, it's stories, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, maybe just straight jokes.
Like, like Jake Roberts did it out here for a minute, and then all my friends were like, oh, Joe, we should go to Flappers and see Jake Roberts. And I'm just like, nah, I know the story. I'm good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I already probably know all these stories because he's probably just telling stories with punch-up.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's awesome, you know, but at the same time, it's not really like, I think like Dolph Ziggler. is actually goes out and tries to do stand up.
Dolph Ziggler actually does stand up. Like, he does tell jokes.
Like, he's like lives in Arizona and just goes like to improv and
stuff. So my buddy in Arizona, Ernie, who also likes the page, big shout out to Ernie Green, he contacted Dolph Ziggler about doing a show together and they're gonna do a show and Dolph's gonna headline it.
No, he's got to get that stage time.
Hopefully we'll learn more about that if that actually comes to fruition.
Dolph Ziggler, when he was on Colt Cabana's podcast a few years ago, and he's a big fan of like 80s comedy.
Yeah.
Super big fan. Like, he, you know, name dropping guys like George Wallace, which, I mean, George Wallace is pretty popular, but, you know, just kind of having that recollection of guys like him from the 80s.
Isn't George Wallace still, like, performing in Vegas?
No, he stopped. I think he's out here a lot. George Wallace, by the way, I think he's at Mr. George Wallace on Twitter. He's one of the best guys on Twitter.
I love,
he's really funny because a lot of his tweets are like, shout out to moms with their birthing and whatnot. Like, that's how basically every tweet is, but it's and he's very sharp at, like, he takes down politics people and stuff.
I love his stand up. Like, I watch clips of his stand up a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, get on that. You're going to dig it. So, that's the George Walsh podcast. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I Can Talk Kayfabe for this week. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again soon.